Yes, as I mentioned before, we'll be reading a sermon that's been prepared by Reverend Esther Hart, and it's based on the second letter of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. So I invite you to take up your Bibles with me. We can read the Word of God. They turn to the second letter of Peter. To 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 through to 15. So we'll read that first together. So this is the Bible reading. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, then add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and they abound, then you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right that as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. And moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So the text chosen is from this reading, and it is verse 10 and verse 11. So I'll just read them again. This is verse 10 and 11 of chapter 1. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Bible quotes in the sermon that I'll read to you are from the ESV, similar, but you can follow along in our translation that you have in front of you. So I'll be referring back to this chapter, but in here it will be the ESV. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the second letter of Peter helpful? As in, is the second Peter, is it helpful in giving you security that you need regarding your salvation in Christ? To be secure in your faith and to be sure of your salvation is something that we both want and we need. True faith, as also mentioned, the Heidelberg Catechism rightly says it there, is it's not only a sure knowledge, but it's also it's a firm confidence that it's not only to others, but also to me, that God has granted forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation out of mere grace and only for the sake of Christ's merits. Now, it's not enough to know the gospel. We also need to be sure of it. And it's not enough just to be sure that the gospel's true for others, but that it is true for you, for me, for ourselves. But how can you be sure of your salvation? Well, 2 Peter 1 verse 10 says this: Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. But is that helpful? Peter tells us to be diligent, to make an effort, to press on, to spare no energy, so that we might make our call and election sure. And he writes that if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And the things that he's referring to here, these are the things that are mentioned earlier in verses 5 to 7, where we're told to supplement your faith with virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. But isn't that pushing us back into the thinking in terms of a works-based religion, works-based righteousness? Isn't that pushing us back to the idea that somehow that what Christ did, it wasn't enough? And that in the end, our salvation is up to us after all, and that you can only be sure of your salvation if you are good enough? And isn't that the problem that many of us have? The problem that we don't know if we're good enough? Actually, the problem that we know that we aren't good enough, and the problem that we feel judged by others, and therefore maybe also feel judged by God. Well, there is indeed a wrong way to be sure of your salvation through what you do. And that is when you put the work of Christ to the side as if he had not already paid for your sins, or as if his sacrifice was not enough, and then you try to do it for yourself. But that's not what Peter is writing about in his second letter. What Peter is teaching us in his second letter is this: since Christ has redeemed us by his blood, well, he also renews us by his Spirit so that we must become more and more Christ-like. And therefore, we will love him, we will praise him, and we will serve him, because that's what he saved us to do. And when we do that, then we will be assured of our faith by its fruits. So it's in this way that the things that we do, that the way that we live our life, that it can give us the assurance that we are truly saved and that we will not fall away and that we can look forward to living with Christ in his kingdom forever. So I preach you this gospel. This is the theme. You can be sure of your salvation. And first point is the pathway to assurance, and then the blessings of assurance. When you read through the New Testament, you might notice that there's a difference between the Bible books, such as the letter of James and the second Peter. When you compare them to the letters of Paul, such as Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians. Now, the common theme in Paul's letters is that our salvation is by faith in Christ alone. But James, on the other hand, says that faith without works is dead. And 2 Peter calls you to supplement your faith with the promise that if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. So what James and Peter teaches us, therefore, it sounds different to the letters written by Paul. But it's not really. The difference between the writings of Paul and Peter is that they are looking at the gospel and the call to live out of the gospel from different angles. The difference in emphasis between these letters in the New Testament is not due to a different gospel, but the difference in emphasis is because the gospel was being distorted by false teachers in different ways. The Apostle Paul was writing in opposition to Jewish legalists, against those who were in danger of turning away from Christ and back to a law-based religion, where you had to do all sorts of things in order to save yourself. Peter, however, he was faced with a different challenge. When Peter wrote his second letter, the false teachers that he was faced with were saying that, well, it didn't matter what you did or how you lived. These people, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2 verse 1, these people, they had denied the master who had bought them. And chapter 2 verse 15 adds, and had forsaken the right way and gone astray. So they were the ones, as it says in 2 Peter 2 verse 20 says, they were the ones that having escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, although they were again entangled in them, they had fallen back into a life of sin, with the result being that the last state was worse than the first. So the gospel message is the same. And in fact, what Peter teaches can be found in the letters of Paul, and what Paul teaches can be found in 2 Peter. But the emphasis is different because Paul and Peter were dealing with different things. The false teachers that Peter was writing against, they didn't seem to understand what effect the gospel must have on our lives. To the contrary, they spoke and acted as though once you've been saved, well, then you can live and you can do whatever you pleased. And Peter didn't mince his words when he wrote in 2 Peter 2 verse 14 and 15, where he wrote this, he said that they had eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin, they entice unsteady souls, they have hearts trained in greed. Cursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. But this was nothing new as such. Already in the Old Testament, there were false prophets, such as in the time before the exile, in the days of the prophets where Jeremiah and Ezekiel were there, who insisted that God, he wasn't angry at sin. And they proclaimed peace, peace, when there was no peace. And for those false prophets, it didn't really matter what you did or how you lived. And today too, there are many who would have you believe that how you live doesn't really matter. Just come as you are, they'll say. But not only that, just you can stay as you are. Don't let anyone tell you what to do or how to live your life. But we should not just look at others. We need to think about this for ourselves too. Because we too are in danger of falling into one of two dangers. And the first danger is that we go back to trying to save ourselves, to being busy doing this or doing that to feel accepted by others or even feel accepted by God himself. But the other danger is that we just reject this, that we also reject God's claim on our lives. But the Bible teaches us that we were saved for a purpose. We were saved to bear fruit. We were saved by Christ's blood so that we might be renewed by his Holy Spirit to serve him, to live for him, to grow in him, and to be more like him. And if we do that, then we will grow in our salvation and we will be assured of our salvation. But if we don't do that, then we are scorning the blood of Christ. We are making light of what he's done for us, and we are rejecting the new life that he has called us to live. And the danger of that is that you'll not only lose your assurance of salvation, but you'll be in danger of losing your salvation itself. And that's why Peter writes so strongly in his second letter, this 2 Peter 3 verse 17, he says this, he says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and that you lose your own stability." So what we need to understand is that the gospel, that it must change us. And when we see and we experience the change that comes with a true faith in Jesus Christ, then you will also be assured of your faith and you will never fall. And that's what Peter is getting at when he writes in 2 Peter 1 verse 10. And I'll quote, "Therefore, brothers, be the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." Now, when Peter says here, when he says you will never fall, he doesn't mean that you will never sin, but that you will be firmly established, that you'll be unmoved, you'll be absolutely sure of your salvation, that you can be confident that you'll never lose it, and that you'll receive this assurance. 2 Peter 1 verse 10 says you will receive it if you do practice these qualities. And those things that you are to do, the things that Peter spells out in verses 5 to 7, where he tells you to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So the Bible never suggests that godliness isn't all that important. The Bible never suggests that it's okay just to go with the flow. The Bible never suggests that since Jesus did it all for you, that it's up to you as to how you are to live your life and that nobody can tell you what to do. No, since God has given you what you need for a life of godliness, well, then you must be godly. You must do what you can to grow in knowledge, to develop self-control, to persevere in godliness. You are to spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ and to be kind to them and to love them and to help them. You are to love both God and your neighbor and to grow in that love. And these are not suggestions. These are not options for the Christian. You need to do these things. You're not saved to be selfish, but Christ saved you to serve. To serve him, to live for him, to praise him, and to serve your neighbor and to love them and to be a blessing to them. And that's what you must do in order that you might never stumble and fall. And so Peter's telling us very clearly that what you do has a direct impact on your assurance of salvation. He says, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. But then on the other hand, if you don't practice these qualities, if you don't supplement your faith in this way, then you will stumble and you will fall. You will be ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 8. And you will be one who is nearsighted and blind, one who has forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. That's in verse 9. And in order to press this home to us then, Peter then says in verse 10, he says, "Be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure." Now, when we first read this command to make your call and election sure, we might be puzzled by it. After all, it's God who calls and it's God who elects us to eternal life. Your calling, your election, is not your decision for God. It is God's decision for you. So that's true. Then how can you make your call and election sure? Well, what Peter means here is not that you need to somehow convince God of your election. God, he knows those who are his, and not one of them will be lost. But what he means is that you need to be sure of this for yourself. And that's what we learn when we read 2 Peter 1 verse 10 in the context of the Bible chapter. Second Peter, it begins with a description of what God has already done for us and in us through Jesus Christ. He's given us faith, his power has given us all things that we need for a life of godliness. He's given us, this is from 2 Peter 1 verse 4, he's given us his precious and very great promises so that through them we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of its sinful desire. That's verse 4. And then verse 5 then says, for this very reason, because of what God has given to you, then make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and knowledge and self-control and so forth. And then verse 10, well, be even more diligent to do these things so that you will never fall, and so make your call and election sure. The Bible is clear that if you do not do these things, that when then you are not living as one who has escaped the corruption of the world, and that you are not living as one who is saved in Jesus Christ. But when you do these things, when you are diligent, when you make every effort to grow in faith and love and godliness, then you'll see and you'll experience the fruit of one who is in Christ. Then you'll never stumble, and then you will be assured that you belong to God in Jesus Christ, and you'll be assured of your salvation. So the pathway to assurance is to begin with the promises of God, believing that through these promises that you have the forgiveness of sins and that you are united to the Lord Jesus Christ, making you a partaker of the divine nature. And then, knowing that, to make every effort to grow in Christ, to bear fruit to God, to add to your faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And if you do these things, you will be sure of your salvation. And if you do these things, you will never fall. This brings us to our second point, which is talking about the blessings that we have of assurance. Now, I trust that it's clear to you that how you live your life as a Christian is important. So do not be surprised if your faith is weak. Do not be surprised if your faith fails. Do not be surprised if your assurance of salvation isn't there. Well, if you do not make use of the means of grace, if you do not, for instance, regularly come to church, if you do not open your Bible every day, if you do not join in with Bible study, or if you don't grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and in godliness, and if you don't make every effort to live as a living member of Christ and of his church. But when you do turn to God, when you do give all diligence to supplement your faith with a life of godliness, and when you grow and increase in this, then you will remain firm in your faith and your call and election will be made sure. And that will be a blessing to you. Now, it will be a blessing to you because you'll be filled with thanks and gratitude towards God. And it will be a blessing because it will make you want to know Christ even more and to love him and to serve him even more. Indeed, being sure of your salvation won't make you careless and godless, but rather it would encourage you to grow and to increase in the Lord Jesus even more. Indeed, you'll no longer be grasping for what this world has to offer, but you'll be longing for God and for what he holds out to you. So do you see how important it is, therefore, brothers and sisters, to be even more diligent and to make your call and election sure? Now, yes, it does take effort. And yes, it does mean dying to yourself and living in and for our Lord Jesus Christ. But what a blessing it is to have that assurance of salvation already in this life. But there is more. Because 2 Peter 1 verse 11 also holds out the promise of God's blessing for the life to come, where it says, "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It will be richly provided for you. you will be welcomed by God and by his Son, Jesus Christ, with open arms, and you will be blessed. Now, we don't serve God for a reward, since, for example, Luke 17, verse 10 reminds us that we are unworthy servants and we've only done what's our duty. But God will multiply his grace and his peace towards us, and he will bless us. He'll even reward us for our faithfulness. And that's what the Bible means when the second letter of John, verse 8, tells us to watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Or you also see in Revelation 2, verse 23, where it says, I will give to each of you according to your works. So this reward, as we also read in Lord's Day 24, it says this reward is not earned, but it's a gift of God's grace. And he will give this to those who live a life of godliness and who make every effort to grow in godliness and holiness. A virtuous life, a life lived for God, a life lived in a way that you grow in our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's an abundant life. It's an abundant life both now and in the life that is to come. And we have the promise that when we practice these qualities, we will never fall. When we practice these qualities, that we may be assured of our salvation. When we practice these qualities, we'll be blessed beyond measure in this life. And when we practice these qualities, we'll be blessed in even greater measure in the life to come. Now, good works is not where we begin, of course. It's not where we begin when we seek assurance for our salvation. To be assured of our salvation, we don't begin with ourselves. We begin with God, with what he has done in Jesus Christ, and with what he has promised. But good works must be included in our assurance of salvation. A saved person is a changed person. And a true faith is a living faith. And therefore, having received all things in Jesus Christ, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you, an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.